Hello, this is a commentary in preparation for the Festival of Shavuot. The Israelites did not accept the Torah until the Blessed Holy One held the mountain over them like a vessel, as it is said, quote, and they stood beneath the mountain, unquote. Rav Dimi, the son of Chama, stated that the Blessed Holy One told Israel, quote, if you accept the Torah, well and good, but if not, your grave will be there. As soon as God finally asked them, will you accept the Torah? They all responded, we will do and hear, end quote. That is from Midrash Tanchuma. In this Midrash, the rabbis implied that the people's response to God, we will do and we will hear, in Exodus 24:7, was not so simple, as the mountain was being held over their heads at the time. Still, they could have decided that death was better than becoming slaves to a new master, even though this master would be God and not Pharaoh. The Midrash reminds us that, even when the right choice may seem clear, sometimes the situation in which we find ourselves can cloud our ability to see clearly. That is the essence of this Midrashic poem, which I share with you today as we celebrate Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, on which, according to rabbinic tradition, the Ten Commandments and the entire Torah were given by God on Mount Sinai. Under the Mountain. 3 months I have led the people out of Egypt, through the sea, into the desert, into freedom. 3 months they thank and praise, complain and threaten, are human. 3 months, it is as if I have been mother and father, wet nurse and protector to this people. 3 months, and here we are, standing at the foot of the mountain, ready to receive God's word, the ultimate gift. Or are they? Am I? 3 days I have told them, prepare to encounter the divine, to hear God's voice. Now they stand afraid, unprepared, human. Now, instead of God, I begin to hear mumbling, ever so slightly, questioning, what are they doing here? Should we have stayed in Egypt? Has this all been my doing? The sorcerer of sorcerers turning rods into snakes, rivers into blood, splitting the sea. They know it was not me, and yet they doubt. How could they not? Even I do, after all I have seen and heard. As the mumblings continue, the mountain begins to smoke and quake with divine fire. It begins to rumble. The people quake. They cannot move, though they try. Suddenly the mountain rises from the ground, no longer rooted to the earth. It floats above them, a heavy cloud of earth and iron. It stays above their heads for minutes, maybe hours. Not a word is heard, not a sound. Even the thunder cannot be seen or heard. Suddenly a blast comes forth from the heavens, piercing sound of the shofar unlike any heard before, as if the entire universe were calling out, listen, pay attention, as if they really had any choice with a mountain over their heads. I wait to hear the voice, but nothing comes. Again, it is silent. Then suddenly, I hear the voice coming from within me. As before in the desert, it is the voice of one of comfort, the voice of my father, gently calling my name, Moses. I look around, see the faces of the people. Each one is hearing the same but different voice, the voice of God emanating in a voice each can hear, mother, father, comforter, speaking clearly, simply, without fanfare or menace. The voice proclaims the simple truth of the moment. Listen and obey the words I am about to speak. Accept the gift I am about to give, and all will be well. Reject this gift, and what is above shall fall, and this shall be not the place of your birth as a community, but the place of your death. I hear the voice, the words, and wonder, what will the people do? What would I do, if really given the choice? Does freedom mean enough that they are willing to live with rules as servants to God, not slaves to Pharaoh? Or do they value independence so much that they are willing to die, rather than lose a drop of what they see as their liberty? I no longer hear God's voice, nor do they, I am sure. I do not hear a word from any of them, No cry of assent or rejection, just stunned silence, the mountain dangling above them. Then rumbling thunder, lightning are heard again, the piercing blast of the shofar even louder than before. I fear the worst. Ego has defeated spirit, that the people have responded, heard only by God, that death is better than serving anyone, even God. That choice will be their one and only exercise of their freedom. I prepare to watch my children die beneath the mountain, wanting to tell them how foolish they are, wanting to tell them what a gift it has been to lead them, in spite of all, and for such a brief time. Then the mountain begins to move. No longer over the people's heads, it descends to its rightful place, and the voice of the people is heard as one. We shall obey, we shall hear all that God will say. We are your people, you are our God. We accept your gift freely and with joy, the law that allows liberty to exist. I feel a sense of elation. They have chosen right. They understand. I feel a sense of dread, knowing that they are not quite ready yet, and I am prepared to face the difficult journey, from freedom to covenant to peoplehood to home. I only hope they are. I'm also ashamed for doubting that they would give the right answer, perhaps because I didn't know if I would have, if I were one of them. Yet I am one of them. As I begin to climb the mountain to receive the words of God, I am Moses who heard the voice of his father, just as each of them has heard the voice of their father or mother. I hope that I can remember during these difficult times that this is the one truth. We are all one. We are all on this journey together. Perhaps they were a little coerced, but sometimes people need a little help to accept, to embrace the difficult things that are best for them, the things that will help them become the nation they are meant to be. Chag Sameach, Happy Shavuot.